Om Janatamanandasya Janajana Salakaya Chaksu Samaritan Jena Tasmai Sri Rave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Pagadamayam Vatati Sa Pandantikam. Manjakabhadu Vyasta Vipasindu Vai Vyasa Vitaram Bhavine Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namah. We're about to begin the 8th chapter of the 6th canto. This chapter describes the Narayan Kavacha shield. Kavacha means basically shield. Prior to this, after the demigods, or Indra rather, they insulted their spiritual master, Brihaspati, and by not showing him proper respect, not acknowledging him, his presence when he walked into Indra's assembly, because this is the nature of when one is surrounded by opulence and everyone who listens to you, there's a tendency for one to get proud. So Indra had become proud, thinking that Brihaspati, my spiritual master, comes every day, and as Prabhupada quoted in his purport, familiarity breeds contempt. So he didn't show any respect to Brihaspati, and Brihaspati used the brahminical weapon of scorn and just walked out silently, not saying a word. But Indra understood that he had made a great mistake, and he lamented, criticized himself, and said, "Who is such a fool that would accept opulence? Because it has a tendency to make one proud, and that has a tendency to make one offensive, and that has a tendency to make one offensive even to one's spiritual master. So who is such a fool that will accept opulences if one has the perspective, the proper perspective of spiritual life?" And indeed, therefore, those who are renounced, they keep away from material opulences because of this tendency for it to inflict pride upon in the mind. I recently heard a tape where Prabhupada was speaking about this, and he said even sadhus have to be careful about this. And then he gave the clue, because at this time it was a tape, an early tape in 1966, when Prabhupada actually was quite poor. But then, even then, he said, "But if one nirbandha Krishna sambandha yukta varagya uchate, without any attachment, uses wealth and Krishna's service, then it will not bind one to the material world. When one sees that opulence as a gift of Krishna, then what is there to be proud of? It's Krishna's. It's Krishna's gift under the devotee's care. So what's there to be proud of? If someone loans you something, or if you're..." I saw this with myself one time. One time I visited Hong Kong, and the devotees, because I don't know why, but the devotees, it was something to do with, it wasn't any more, I couldn't find another car, but they picked myself up, and I think Jack Tierney also, in this huge stretch limousine. So, but it was about a half hour drive to the temple, and by the time we got there, I was quite attached and didn't want to get out. I wanted everyone to see me as they opened the door. it was so bizarre, but actually, once I was out, I was back into ordinary old Parijan again. So that's what happened. So what was the use of that 20 minutes of pride over something that I was just temporarily using? So obviously the mind tends in these directions, but that's the material mind, the material false ego. But when devotion is deep within the heart, this doesn't occur. because one's consciousness is not as enjoyer. One's consciousness is as who am I? Just Krishna's. And what is the I am Krishna's servant. Jivera Srupoi Krishna Nityadas. But in reciprocation with the depth of that mood, Krishna also becomes the devotees. So the concept of who am I and what is mine shifts for a non-devotee and a devotee. For a devotee, he thinks, I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. And for Vrindavan, the mood of mamata, of mindness, ownership or relationship. He is our village boy. We're village friends. Just like if you meet someone from the same town as you, there's immediately a camaraderie and a feeling of affection. So the devotees, especially the residents of Vrindavan, have this so strongly, this feeling of mamata, or possessiveness over Krishna. So Krishna is theirs. How wonderful. And if we could actually have that, what would we trade in this world? What would be sweeter? What would we value more to trade that mood of deep, affectionate, loving relationship with Krishna? What would tempt us to give that up for anything? So Indra was lamenting this point. I'm so foolish because I'm attached to this material situation. So he said, I'll go to my spiritual master and I'll put my head to his feet and beg him to forgive me, confess my foolishness. But Brihaspati wanted to teach Indra very deeply. So he wasn't there. He had disappeared when Indra went to apologize, and Indra was lost. And because of offending his spiritual master, he understood that he and the demigods would become very weak. And as soon as the demigods are weak, the demons, the asuras, think this is a perfect time to attack. And that's what happened. They, on the other hand, by pleasing their spiritual master, Sukracharya, they became very powerful. And they attacked the demigods and inflicted great trouble upon them. And Indra didn't know what to do, so he went to Lord Brahma with all the demigods, and they said, this is our situation, we've done this. And Lord Brahma preached to them very strongly about the importance of pleasing one's spiritual master and not offending one's spiritual master. And then he told them the way out of their difficulty, and that way out was to approach the son of Twasta and Rachana. Now, Rachana, in the prior, was described all the descendants of Prajapati Daksha. So this Rachana was the descendant of Kasyap, his Daksha's daughter, who was married to daughter Ditti, who was married to Kasyapa. And she had, all her children were known as Daityas, or demons. So she, the mother of all the demons, had a daughter named Rachana, and Rachana married Twasta. I may be getting it all confused here, but in any case, she married Twasta, who was a Prajapati, a demigod. So a demigod, a Brahmin, who was more on the Sura side, on the Devas side. But from this marriage came Vishwarupa and Sanavista, and both of them were very, very, very powerful. Indeed, Vishwarupa was Brahminical, but because his mother was a Daitya, a Sura, he had some family affection on that side. Although he was a Brahmana and on the Deva side, and he was so powerful, he was a realized, powerful person who had performed great austerities. So Brahma said, you go to this Vishwaroop, this Brahmana Vishwaroop, and you ask him to be your priest, because Brihaspati won't do this for you now. So you ask Vishwaroop to be your priest. And the demigods, who were very senior, even to Vishwaroop, who was like their child in one sense, yet he was so powerful, they humbly approached Vishwaroop and asked him, you please be our priest. Be our spiritual master. Because we want to take, and they frankly said it, we want to take advantage of your power, of the austerities that you performed to defeat the demons. Yes, sir. And Vishwaroop replied and said, you persons, you demigods are on the level of my parents. And you've requested me. How could I refuse you? You're such powerful, great persons, even though it's generally not recommended to become a priest, because when one becomes a priest, one loses one's own piety. And there's so many stories in the Mahabharata about this, that these priests would do these powerful sacrifices, bringing children for childless kings, but they would give up all their piety and they would have to go to hell and suffer from that. So priests generally shouldn't give up their austerities. They shouldn't accept that position just to get some dakshin, to get some donations, because they'll lose all their piety. But you're asking me, the demigods, you're such exalted persons, and you're asking me, so I'm pleased to do this service. And he was doing it simply in the mood of service. Not to gain anything, but as service to these personalities. So the first thing he did was by his potency, he gave them a protective prayer known as the Narayan Karcha. And because of this prayer, the potency of this, that Indra protected himself with this, that Vishwaroopa gave them, they were able to conquer the demons. So this next chapter describes the very nature of this Narayan Karcha and what it is. So the first verse of this chapter, King Prickett inquired from Sukadev Goswami, this is 1 and 2, my lord, kindly explain the Vishnu mantra armor that protected King Indra and enabled him to conquer his enemies along with their carriers and enjoy the opulence of the three worlds. Please explain to me that Narayan armor by which King Indra achieved success in battle, conquering the enemies who were endeavoring to kill him. Shri Sukadev Goswami said, King Indra, the leader of the demigods, inquired about the armor known as Narayan Kavacha from Vishwaroop, who was engaged by the demigods as their priest. Please hear Vishwaroop's reply with great attention. Vishwaroop said, if some form of fear arrives, one should first wash his hands and legs clean, and then perform Achman by chanting this mantra, Om Apavitra Pavitra Va Sava Vastam Gato Piva Yasmaret Pundarika Sham Sabhaya Bhyantara Siddhi Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. So this mantra we also chant. It means that when one is before the Lord and remembering, smarit, pundarik aksham, the one who has lotus eyes, Lord Narayan, whether one is internally or externally clean or not clean, one is purified just by remembering the Lord. So what the devotees do, and it's the greatest of all habits to develop, is to learn how to remember Krishna always. And when there's any difficulty, quickly remember Krishna and chant Krishna's name as the Hare Krishna mantra. And if we can practice that one thing of constant chanting and taking shelter of Krishna in difficulty, that one thing will save us. at the time of death. Because that's the perfection of life. Ante Narayana Smriti is to remember the Lord when we're leaving this world. So, then Vishrup continued to describe, one should touch Kusha grass. Kusha grass is very auspicious. And sit gravely and silently facing north. So obviously this is when there's not some sudden cause of fear, but when one has time to do these things. Then, when completely purified, one should touch the mantra composed of 8 syllables to the 8 parts of his body, and touch the mantra composed of 12 syllables to his hands. So how to do this will be explained. Thus, in the following manner, he should bind himself with Narayan coat of armor. First, while chanting the mantra composed of 8 syllables, which is Om Namo Narayana, beginning with the pranav, the syllable Om, one should touch his hands to 8 parts of his body, starting with the 2 feet, progressing systematically to the knees, thighs, abdomen, heart, chest, mouth, and head. Then one should chant the mantra in reverse, beginning with the last syllable, Ya, Narayana, while touching the parts of his body in the reverse order. It's actually not Om Namo Narayana, but Om Namo Narayanaya. So the last syllable is the Ya, Narayanaya. While touching the parts of his body in the reverse order. These 2 processes are known as Utpatinyas and Samharanyas, respectively. So these are technical things that the devotees generally don't bother with. But they are very powerful, nevertheless. Then one should chant the mantra composed of 12 syllables, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Devayaya. Preceding each syllable by the Omkar, one should place the syllables of the mantra on the tips of his fingers, beginning with the index finger of the right hand and concluding with the index finger of the left. The 4 remaining syllables should be placed on the joints of the thumb. One must then chant the mantra of 6 syllables, Om Vishnave Namah. One should place the syllable Om on his heart. So we can see how there's a combination of mantras and decoration of the body with the names or the syllables that make up the names of the Lord within this mantra. And a mantra actually has special potency more than the parts. One should place the syllable Om on his heart, the syllable V in Vishnu on the top of his head, the syllable Sha between his eyebrows, the syllable Na on his tuft of hair, the Sika, and the syllable Ve between his eyes. The chanter of the mantra should then place the syllable Na on all the joints of his body and meditate on the syllable Ma as being a weapon. He should thus become the perfect personification of the mantra. Thereafter, adding Visarga, that's the 2 dots, to the final syllable Ma, he should chant the mantra Maha Asrayafat in all directions, beginning from the east. In this way, all directions will be bound by the protective armor of the mantra. After finishing this chanting, one should think himself qualitatively one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full in 6 opulences and is worthy to be meditated upon. Then one should chant the following protective prayer to Lord Narayan, the Narayan Kavacha. And here is the prayer. The Supreme Lord, it begins, Om Hari Vidadhyan Mama Sarva Raksham, getting all Sarva Raksham, all protection for me. There's a saying, Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. For one who Krishna protects, then death cannot touch him. The one who Krishna wants to protect, no difficulties can overcome him. And for one who Krishna doesn't want to protect, then so many difficulties will come. So, Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke. So, this is actually the mood of a surrendered devotee. His surrender, the actual main anga, or the main part of surrender to Krishna, is Gotriptre Varanam Tata. That one places oneself fully under the protection of Krishna. And then one surrenders to how Krishna protects him. As one continues to serve Krishna, one accepts everything as Krishna's mercy. So therefore, and we can see this in the example of Pariksit Maharaj, who was asking these questions to Sukadev Goswami, that he was fully under the care of Krishna. What happened? He became cursed to die in 7 days, and yet he accepted Krishna's mercy in that regard. And later on in the sixth canto, at the end of this story, and then as we go into the story of Chitraketu Maharaj, we'll hear how the great devotee Chitraketu, under Krishna's protection, becomes cursed to become a demon who is Vitrasura. And then Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the reason why he was cursed was because Krishna wanted to call him back to Vaikuntha very quickly, to the spiritual world very quickly. So what seemingly is such a horrible thing is saturated with Krishna's desire for the benefit of the devotee. So what is fortunate and what is unfortunate is very difficult to tell. But the devotee accepts everything as fortunate because he's living in Krishna's mercy. And therefore a devotee, and only a devotee, can be free from anxiety in this world, because what's there to be afraid of when one is in Krishna's hand? But that type of devotee is very rare, because one's faith and trust in Krishna has to be so deep that nothing can shake it. Unshakably deep, then one is a devotee on that level. Because in this world there's so many tests and pushings according to our karma. It's like being on the ocean, and if we have very heavy karma, it's like a big storm on the ocean in a boat, and the boat will be very rocky. The waves will push us this way and that way. And sometimes the placid ocean will make us think it's so peaceful and wonderful, but then the storms can come. That's what life is. And depending upon one's karma, one has a different proportion of storms and peaceful segments. But in Kali Yuga, we can guarantee that no one has peaceful life, because upadrutaha prena payusak sabda kalavasmin yuge jana manda samanda mateo manda abhagya upadrutaha. The tendency is to be always disturbed in Kali Yuga, because the atmosphere itself is so disturbing. So we have to, really, it is in our interest to learn this art of being surrendered and fully dependent on Krishna's mercy and accepting everything that happens as Krishna's, the touch of Krishna. Because even if we have a fully placid life, how is death going to be peaceful for us? Impossible. So difficult times in life are practice sessions for that most difficult time. And they can be seen like that, as Krishna's mercy in that way as well. So in any case, this is the whole mood of a devotee, actually. An actual devotee, placing himself fully in Krishna's hands and serving Krishna with devotion as he's doing that. So Indra here is protecting himself with the potency of Narayan in the form of this kavacha, or protective shield. So here's the, we're reading the Sarvaraksham, it will give me, Mama Sarvaraksham, it will give me all protection. Om Hari, the Lord, may He bestow upon me all protection. The Supreme Lord, who sits on the back of the bird Garuda, touching him with his lotus feet, holds eight weapons: the conch shell, disc, shield, sword, club, arrows, bow, and ropes. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead protect me at all times with his eight arms. He is all powerful because he fully possesses the eight mystic powers, anima, lagima, etc. Read a teeny bit of Prabhupada's purport here. The living entities are always subordinate to the Supreme. Consequently, their duty is to always seek the mercy of the Lord in order to be protected by Him in all circumstances. This is such a sweet part of the mood of a devotee. He could be very bold, but yet he feels himself very tiny, insignificant. So how can those two contradictory qualities, humility and boldness, exist simultaneously? And here is the secret how. It's because the devotee is depending upon Krishna, because he feels himself tiny and insignificant. So he depends on Krishna and feels himself protected always. Because if one feels oneself tiny and insignificant, like the child crossing across a busy intersection with the cars going this way and that. The child, you ever see a child do that, just holding on to his mother or father's hand like that? Such a dangerous situation. The child isn't even aware of the danger and is not in any anxiety at all because of the simplicity of heart and dependence, faithful dependence on the parents that he has. But on the other side, how would someone who hasn't devotion, how will he become, adopt a fearless mood? He has to think himself very powerful and competent and in control. That's how a person with no devotional sentiments will free himself from anxiety, feel himself in that way, which is really illusion, because in fact we are tiny and insignificant. So one will take shelter of illusion. You have to take shelter of something to live in this world. That's the nature of the tatastha shakti, the jiva, the marginal energy. So we either have to take shelter of illusion or Krishna. Otherwise we can't exist. So the duty of the living entity who is subordinate to the Lord is to always seek the mercy of the Lord in order to be protected by Him in all circumstances. Continuing. May the Lord, this is the Narayan Kavacha prayer, may the Lord, who assumes the body of a great fish, what's that fish's name? Matsya, protect me in the water from the fierce animals that are associates of the demigod Varuna. By expanding his illusory energy, the Lord assumed the form of the dwarf Vaman. May Vaman protect me on the land. So protect me on the water, protect me on the land. Since the gigantic form of the Lord, Vishwarupa, conquers the three worlds, may he protect me in the sky. Prabhupada's short purport. This mantra seeks the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the water, land, and sky, in his incarnations as the fish Vamanadeva and Vishwarupa. And the Vishwarupa, the universal form. Text 14. May Lord Nrisingadev, who appeared as the enemy of Hiranyakashipu, protect me in all directions. His loud laughing vibrated in all directions and caused the pregnant wives of the Asuras to have miscarriages. May that Lord be kind enough to protect me in difficult places like the forest and battlefront. So in the most difficult places, may Lord Nisringadeva protect. This is the mantra that's being, the Narayan Kratcha mantra. The supreme, indestructible Lord is ascertained through the performance of ritualistic sacrifices and is therefore known as Jageshwar. In his incarnation as Lord Bor, he raised the planet Earth from the water at the bottom of the universe and kept it on his pointed tusks. May that Lord protect me from rogues on the street. May Parsaram protect me on the tops of mountains. And may the elder brother of Bharata, Lord Ramachandra, along with his brother Lakshman, protect me in foreign countries. Because Lord Ram was wandering always with Lakshman to different foreign places. When one's in a foreign place, one doesn't know who is good, who is bad, where are the dangerous places, where are the safe places. One can get oneself into so much trouble. So Lord Ramachandra is being begged for protection there. May Lord Narayan protect me from unnecessarily following false religious systems and falling from my duties due to madness. Pramad, pramadan, which are enacted in madness. May the Lord in his appearance as Nara protect me from unnecessary pride. May Lord Dattatreya, the master of all mystic power, protect me from falling while performing bhakti yoga. And may Lord Kapila, the master of all good qualities, protect me from the material bondage of fruitive activities. May Sanat Kumar protect me from lusty desires. As I begin some auspicious activity, may Lord Hayagriva protect me from being an offender by neglecting to offer respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord. May Devarshi Narada protect me from committing offenses in worshipping the deity. And may Lord Korma, the tortoise, protect me from falling to the unlimited hellish planets. Here's Prabhupada's short purport. Lusty desires are very strong in everyone, and they are the greatest impediment to the discharge of devotional service. Takeno priyuktayam papam chaliti purusha anichyanapivarsaya baladi vinayujita. Arjuna asks the question of Krishna, what is it that impels one? Papam chariti purusha. What impels a person to sinful activities, even against his own will? And Krishna's answer was kama esha. This is lust. Krodha esha. When lust is not satisfied, it turns into anger. Rajaguno samutbhava. Born of the mode of rajagun, passion. Mahashano, this is the greatest enemy. Mahapatma, sinful. Vidyanam, a learned person. Iyavarinam, get rid of this. This is the great test. Because we're surrounded by an ocean of passion. So, therefore, those who are very much influenced by lusty desires are advised to take shelter of Sanat Kumar, the great brahmacharya devotee. Raghunath Das Goswami in his Manush Shiksha calls these the lusty desires, he compares them to highwaymen. What's a highwayman? Or a dacoit? Or a thug, or what's contemporary words for it? Robbers or muggers or whatever. They, you know, you're walking somewhere, you're working, you that's on a bit of a different level. You're walking somewhere and you have something valuable with you, and these people, they'll come and they'll attack you and they'll steal everything. What's the first thing they say? Don't make a sound. And what's the first thing you have to do? Scream. So therefore, that's the first thing they say. Don't call out. Because what do you call out? Of course, the devotees will call out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But usually what people call out is, help, police, help, police. And that's the last thing that the robbers want to hear, the criminals want to hear. Because if the police come, then they're finished. So Raghunath Das compares to lustful desires to highwaymen who will steal away what's valuable. And what is really valuable, what jewels do we have, is whatever Krishna consciousness we have somehow or another accumulated in this life can be stolen away completely by lusty desires. So call out, he says, very loudly, the name of Agavit, the killer of the Aga demon, Agasura, who is symbolizes crookedness, because lusty desires are very crooked. They come in as if they are material desires of all forms, come in as if they're offering us something very wonderful, and if we'll be very happy if we accept this. So therefore we give it space in our mind, and we fan that little spark, because it always comes in with a little teeny desire, and then you fan it and give it mental attention, and then it grows, and suddenly it's a big demon swallowing everything, like Agasura with its huge mouth swallowing everything. And that's the nature of these type of desires. So and very crooked it comes, like a snake. So we have to be wary of this and call out very quickly. While the snake of desire is very small, call out Krishna's names. Or, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, call out the names of the great devotees like Sanat Kumar or Raghunath Das or all the great Vaishnavas. Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. All the Vaishnavas, the great hero of Vaishnava Acharyas, are very, very powerful. And as Krishna Surya Sam Maya Haya Andhakar, as sunlight and darkness cannot coexist, so similarly, this type of darkness cannot exist in the presence of these personalities. So advised to take shelter of Sanat Kumar, the great Brahmachari devotee. Narada Muni, who is the guide for Archana, is the author of the Narada Pancharatra, which prescribes the regulative principles for worshipping the deity. Everyone engaged in deity worship, whether at home or in the temple, should always seek the mercy of Devarshi Narada in order to avoid the 32 offenses for worshipping the deity. These offenses in deity worship are mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. 18. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His incarnation as Dhanvantari relieve me from undesirable eatables and protect me from physical illness. May Lord Rishabhdev, who conquered His inner and outer senses, protect me from fear produced by the duality of heat and cold. May Jagya protect me from defamation and harm from the populace. And may Lord Balaram as Shesha protect me from envious serpents. Prabhupada's purport. To live within this material world, one may face many dangers as described herein. For example, undesirable food poses a danger to health, and therefore one must give up such food. The Dhanvantari incarnation can protect us in this regard. Since Lord Vishnu is the supersoul of all living entities, if He likes, He can save us from adibhautika disturbances from other living entities. Lord Balaram is the Shesha incarnation, and therefore He can save us from angry serpents or envious persons who are always ready to attack. 19. May the Personality of Godhead in His incarnation as Vyasadeva protect me from all kinds of ignorance resulting from the absence of Vedic knowledge. May Lord Buddhadev protect me from activities opposed to Vedic principles, and from laziness that causes one to madly forget the Vedic principles of knowledge and ritualistic action. May Kalki Dev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared as an incarnation to protect religious principles, protect me from the dirt of the age of Kali. Here's Prabhupada's purport. I'll read the next two verses that don't have purports, and then we'll stop there and we'll just conclude with this purport. May Lord Keshava protect me with his club in the first portion of the day. May Govinda, who is always engaged in playing his flute, protect me in the second portion of the day. May Lord Narayan, who is equipped with all potencies, protect me in the third part of the day. And may Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc to kill his enemies, protect me in the fourth part of the day. May Lord Madhusudan, who carries a bow very fearful for the demons, protect me during the fifth part of the day. In the evening, may Lord Madhava, appearing as Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwar, protect me. And in the beginning of night, may Lord Rishikesh protect me. At the dead of night, in the second and third parts of night, may Lord Padmanabha alone protect me. So we'll stop with the verses here and continue with Narayan collected tomorrow. But we'll read this purport to text 19, which was about asking Vyasadev, Buddhadev, and Kalki to protect. Here's Prabhupada's purport. This verse mentions various incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who appear for various purposes. Srila Vyasadeva Mahamuni compiled the Vedic literature for the benefit of all human society. If one wants to be protected from the reactions of ignorance, even in this age of Kali, one may consult the books left by Srila Vyasadeva, namely the four Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Atharva Veda, the 108 Upanishads, the Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra, the Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahapurana. Vyasadeva's commentary on the Brahma Sutra was Bhagavatam, and the other 17 Puranas. Only by the mercy of Srila Vyasadeva do we have so many volumes of transcendental knowledge to save us from the clutches of ignorance. As described by Srila Jayadev Goswami in his Dasavatar Stotra, so that's what Prabhupada said about Vyasadeva, now about Lord Buddha. As described by Srila Jayadev Goswami in his Dasavatar Stotra, Lord Buddha apparently decried the Vedic knowledge. Nindasi yagyaveder ahaha shuti jatam sadaya ridaya dasita pasugatam keshavadrita buddha sharira jaya jagadishahari. The mission of Lord Buddha was to save people from the abominable activity of animal killing and to save the poor animals from being unnecessarily killed. When Pashandis, those who take the Vedic instructions cheaply, were cheating by killing animals on the plea of sacrificing them in Vedic yajñas, the Lord said, if the Vedic injunction allows animal killing, I do not accept the Vedic principles, because they were killing, unnecessarily killing animals. And Buddha wanted to stop it because ahimsa paramo dharma, the highest religious principle, is explained in Buddhism, is ahimsa, non-violence. So when Buddha would try to stop them, they would say, well, the Vedas don't prohibit animal killing, sacrifices, so therefore we can do it. We'll do it on the plea of the Vedas. So Lord Buddha said, then I don't care, I reject the Vedas, I don't care about the Vedas. Don't kill. If the Vedic injunctions allow killing animals, I do not accept the Vedic principles. Thus, he actually saved people who acted according to Vedic principles. One should therefore surrender to Lord Buddha so that he can help one avoid misusing the injunctions of the Vedas. And then the Kalki. The Kalki avatar is the fearsome incarnation who vanquishes the class of atheists born in the age of Kali. Now, in the beginning of Kali Yuga, many irreligious principles are in effect. And as Kali Yuga advances, many pseudo-religious principles will certainly be introduced. And people will forget the real religious principles enunciated by Lord Krishna before the beginning of Kali Yuga, namely principles of surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord, Unfortunately, because of Kali Yuga, foolish people do not surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Even most people who claim to belong to the Vedic system of religion are actually opposed to the Vedic principles. Every day they manufacture a new type of dharma on the plea that whatever one manufactures is also a path of liberation. Atheistic men generally say yattamatta tattupata. That means whatever path you're on is fine. All lead to the same goal. According to this view, there are hundreds and thousands of different opinions in human society, and each opinion is a valid religious principle. There's a saying, a Buddhist saying, as many monks, that many religions. And they don't say that in a negative way, but this is how religions, and actually irreligion, increases in Kali Yuga. Because there's no authority. This principle, and how Kali works, is by making authority bad in Kali Yuga and giving everyone, making authority corrupt in Kali Yuga, corruption of authority, and then giving everyone the excuse and all the reasons not to have to listen to authority anymore. So in Kali Yuga, if one follows corrupt authority, one gets into trouble. And if one doesn't follow authority, sat on one's own, one gets into further trouble. So damned if you do, damned if you don't. That's how Kali works. So very, very difficult in Kali. It's so difficult. So this philosophy of rascals has killed the religious principles mentioned in the Vedas, that you can, that everything is yattamattattapat. And such philosophies will become increasingly influential as Kali Yuga progresses. In the last stage of Kali Yuga, Kalki Dev, the fierce incarnation of Keshava, will descend to kill all the atheists and will save only the devotees of the Lord. So, begging Lord Buddha to protect from misusing Vedic principles, and Kali, Kalki, to protect from the dirt of the age of Kali. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yep.
I was thinking about aversion as a an opposite of attachment, and that it's a quality of the mind. If we have, we're not supposed to have aversion to material things.
One should be neutral.
Yeah, so I guess in the extreme it turns into hate.
Aversion, yeah.
Yeah. So if we have karma within the heart and we're mortified by it.
By how much horrible karma we have?
Karma, lust.
Karma.
Yeah.
Which is karma. But yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Is our aversion to it also a cause of maya? How do we discriminate too?
See, but the aversion doesn't point to oneself usually. It points to the object of lust. The things that we have attraction for, we'll have aversion for. That's the other side of the same thing. We'll hate those things as we flip back and forth. But to have an aversion for lust itself is not inappropriate. It's required, actually. But when one sees that one's heart is so covered by these things, then one needs to know how to deal with it in a therapeutic way, because it doesn't work to say, from now on, I'm not going to have any thoughts in that regard anymore. It just doesn't work at all. And in fact, the first thing will happen is, say, I'm not going to think about lusty things anymore, lusty things anymore, lusty things. I'm not going to think about lust anymore. And you start immediately thinking about it, because it's just the mind becomes attached to those things immediately. And the mind is so tricky. It's like a snake. So crooked. So one, Narottama Das Thakur in Prem Bhakti Chandrika explains, how to deal with lust and anger and greed. So we should be desirous of good association, strongly desirous of that. Bewilderment, when I can't attain the lotus feet of Krishna, I can become mad and upset. I can become angry at those who are inimical to Krishna, and who, it can become very angry, legitimate. This is what Narottama Das Thakur says. Become angry at the people who are misleading the world so pointedly towards irreligion and horrible things. Such powerful preachers they are of irreligiosity. It's legitimate. One should become angry at them. And greedy for doing wonderful things for Krishna, for accumulating things for Krishna. This is all. But Krishna has to be the center. And that's the difference between something done in false ego and real ego. In false ego, I am the center. And in real ego, Krishna is actually the center. So here we are in such a delicate position, surrounded by the material energy, surrounded by false ego, and trying to conquer it. So that needs to be done under guidance, under expert guidance. The basic principles we should chant Hare Krishna continuously. But if we're not up to that stage, we certainly won't be able to do it, or we'll start chanting continuously, but our mind will be thinking about something else, and then continuously will end very quickly. So we have to use our tendencies in Krishna's service. We have to take to the purifying process. We have to be careful of our association, our satsanga, tyagi, vaishnavachar. On the other hand, sadhu sanga, sarvashastrahoi, lava mata, sadhu sanga, sarvasiddhihoi. We have to be careful of what we eat. We have to be careful of what water we drink, even. It's actually described in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, the things that affect the modes of material nature that affect us. Food is very important. Association is the most important thing, practically. So, you know, it's a science. That was basically why Prabhupada created the society, is to give facility for clean association and for Krishna conscious association. In Melbourne in 1975, in the town hall meeting, someone asked Prabhupada, how do you become sincere? Because that's always the problem. You know, we say, I have these desires in my heart, and that, you know, I'm so covered and everything like that. But really, we don't want to get rid of them. That's the problem. We're insincere, you know, or we're mixed. We have, you know, a few hours a day we're sincere, a few hours a day we're not sincere. This is what it's like being taking birth in Kali Yuga. You know, such a confusing mixture. So Prabhupada replied, "How do you become sincere?" He said, "How do you become a drunkard?" And the answer was, you associate with drinkers. And then Prabhupada pointed to the devotees, who I wasn't getting at all getting along with at that time. He said, associate with them, because they're sincere. So really, without the association of devotees, we'll just associate with non-devotees. And Prabhupada told me that one time. If we don't make friendship with the devotees, because we're social by nature, we'll be forced by our nature to associate with someone. So we'll have to associate with non-devotees. And he said, then you will not be able to follow the rules and regulations. That's what he said. So association is so important in this, in the whole thing. Associate with devotees. Any other questions or comments? Did that?
Yeah.
You know, basic things, of course. Chant Hare Krishna. Chant our rounds. Follow the four principles. Four rules. There are five especially potent points. Panchanga Bhakti. even a little attention, alpasanga, a little association with them, have great effect. Association, sadhu sangha, namakirtan, chanting the holy names, Srimad Bhagavatam Shravan, Sri Murtira Shravana Sevaya, with great faith worship for deity. And I missed one. Mathuravas, living in a holy place. So if we either live in Mathura Vrindavan, or we live in the temple, or we make our house into a temple, but if we're surrounded by that atmosphere, it really helps. And when you wander in Vrindavan, what does everyone say? Of course, when they see us, the Westerners say, Prabhu, Haribol, Haribol, come. Want to buy a shirt? But everyone says, Radhe Radhe, Hare Krishna, Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Sri Krishna. Instead of, how's it going, right? So what an atmosphere. Everyone's chanting. I remember one time, and somehow it stuck me so deeply. Years ago, I was walking in Jagannath Puri, just at twilight when the sun was setting. And at that time, everyone was doing aartis. And just walking through the street, in every house, it seemed like there was a bell ringing. And there was just such a... The whole atmosphere was so charged with sweetness due to everyone worshipping the Lord. Worshipping Lord Jagannath. So how wonderful to be in an atmosphere like that. So we should somehow or another have time in every day where we're immersed in that kind of an atmosphere, either by in a temple atmosphere, in the dham, or in a temple or a house as a temple, or immersed in the Bhagavatam, or immersed in the holy names, or immersed in speaking Krishna Katha with the devotees. Yeah, that covers too. So this is what we need to become saturated, like a sponge, absorbed. We absorb whatever, that's the nature of Tattvastu Shakti. We absorb either materialism, self-centeredness, petty selfishness, or we absorb Krishna-centeredness. So we want to become so saturated that nothing else fits in. But the difficulty is, speaking for myself, lack of sincerity is the same problem. Yeah, I really want Krishna. What time is it? Which reminds me, I have to end class now. Yeah, this is the problem. But we gradually by following the process, and gradually by the very nature of the material world, will crush us. Time will take everything away. This is life. So we can see that as Krishna's mercy, because everything that we value will be taken away in time. Wherever our false shelters are will prove to be prashanapina pashyati. They'll be false. We'll see this. But we should learn from it and seek that's Krishna's mercy. So for a devotee, it's only auspicious, subha. For a non-devotee, it will be only... Life is only auspicious because he won't learn. So we should learn. We should learn to take shelter of Krishna. Oh, it's so nice what Prabhupada said, that a devotee should constantly be praying for protection of Krishna. How nice. We certainly need it. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Narayan Kavachya ki jai, Pitaya Gopremanandi.